Have you ever looked into the night sky and wondered, are we alone? We've learned so much about the world and our universe, and yet we realize there are so many mysteries yet unsolved. If you are interested in the unexplained and mysterious in our world, then join us in The Night Search, a forum for discussion and exploration of the world just beyond our reach. And now, your host for Night Search, Eddie Middleton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Justin Abner. Eddie's not in just yet. Oh, here he is right now, so I'm going to bring him out.
I'm here.
And we're live, Eddie. Go ahead.
I'm here. I just got in. I guess we already heard our little intro music, and Augie Nosch is our guest. He's been on quite a few times over the years with Night Search. He's co-hosted quite a bit to help us out, and he's going to be talking about his new book tonight. And we're anxious to hear all about it, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot of people listening tonight. He's put the word out all over the world. Augie, thanks for being on Night Search again here on March the 3rd, 2015.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me back on again. I always enjoyed Night Search. It's so far out of the box that it's kind of unique. And just like me, I always joke about it. I'm so far out of the box, and I don't even know where the box is anymore. So this is a show right up my alley. This, what we're going to talk about tonight, it is such a strange and complicated issue that I don't really know exactly where to start, maybe. But maybe a good thing would be to start explaining a little bit where the information that we're going to be talking about come from. Some of it I have researched in obscure documents, and some of it my own experience from a...
Augie, we're getting some interference, or at least I'm hearing some interference, or you're breaking up. Is there any way you can adjust your phone somehow? Or Justin, are you...
I am on the hard line here, so I don't know what else I can do.
He sounds great now.
You sound great now. Okay, maybe it's just my phone. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, real good. Yeah. Yeah. No. What I got a lot of the information that I'm going to be talking about through a kind of a strange experience that I had. There was I would call it a download of universal information. It came to my mind. It took about 5 seconds to get lodged, and from there on, it sat and it occupied all thoughts. It blocks out everything else that was almost around you that I couldn't even see hardly anything. It was just flooded with this information. And there was universal information. The whole universe was pretty much explained, both in concept and detail. And It stayed with me for a while. It came in real quick, about 5 seconds, and then it stayed for quite a while. And I grabbed a pen and a writing pad, and I started writing. And I wrote and wrote and wrote. And then I had a break during the day when I had to go do some work, and then I came back again and I wrote and wrote again for the several days afterwards to get a lot of this information down on paper, so I didn't forget it because it started fading.
But, yeah, it doesn't sound like a typical cosmic consciousness experience, because apparently you're talking about information that you were able to transcribe.
Yeah, it wasn't. It did not show up in visions or anything like that. It was just a knowing of knowledge. So it was just sitting in my mind. You could call it cosmic something or other, whatever term you use will probably fit it. And this is not unique because it does happen to other people. Mm-hmm. Most of them don't talk about it, but there are people that has written books about this when they have a download like this. And even Einstein talked about having something like, Nikola Tesla had something like this. So there are some very prominent people that took advantage of it for specific purposes that they were working on. And, of course, I have been meditating for 50 years or so, and that probably helped me to kind of maybe mold the mind to be more receptive to these things.
But that
don't mean that somebody that's starting out meditating today, they don't have to wait 50 years to get any results. It can happen very quickly. So this is something that I would really encourage people to do. Start meditating as soon as you can, because things will happen. Now, I've been writing articles over the years, and I co-wrote a book here with Pat, which is on the line tonight. Gosh, that's got to be almost 20 years ago. And
do you remember our first UFO book?
Yeah, that's the one. Of course, since that day, you have written 50, what, four books, is it?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Man.
Augie, when did you have this experience? How many years ago?
Yeah,
it was about 2 years ago. I was in a kind of in a secluded place where everything was pretty much taken care of, and I had presence of mind, I had peace of mind, and I didn't think about all the worries that you tie up your mind on the outside. It was pretty much me and my mind together. I lived in my mind. And let me give you something to think about. Science has determined that matter and energy cannot be created from nothing. Then again, we have people like Stephen Hawking. He is a professor at the Cambridge University in England, and many other theoretical physicists, they claim that their equations of quantum physics on the blackboard show that this whole universe that we are living in was created from nothing. If matter and energy cannot be created from nothing, and the whole universe was created from nothing, and you are in this universe created from nothing, what are you?
Wow.
Well, I'm wondering if this nothing is not just nothing at all.
Yeah, I paused for about 5 seconds there on purpose because I wanted you to think. If the whole universe is created from nothing, we are nothing. But it looks like there is something because we can see something, right?
Right.
So there's got to be something. Well, that something is nothing physical. When we speak about nothing, that means nothing physical. There is still something, and that is thought. This was very clear to me. It came and it stung because I haven't thought about it that way before. Quantum physics is what I started studying after that, and it says that we are living in a mind-created universe.
Mm-hmm.
If this mind-created universe creates what we see around us, it looks so physical, so solid. If you fall on your face, boy, oh boy, it hurts. But it is still nothing physical. It is a mind-created, self-aware hologram. And this is reacting to and being created by a set of physics and the laws of physics, which I will call universal law. It came into existence. So the blueprint for what you see around you and what you read in the history books and what you will see in the newspaper tomorrow and 400 years from now, the blueprint for that came at the beginning. The beginning is what science called the Big Bang. Of course, there were no Big Bang. And it was a single particle of thought that left what I am calling the great sea of light. And some people would call it heaven, which it isn't, because they don't know what heaven is. And heaven is still part of the illusion around you. It's just on a different level of vibration.
Augie?
Yeah?
Would you say that moment of light or whatever would be like the moment of awareness?
That particle of thought brought awareness. You're exactly right.
That's what I was thinking.
Self-awareness, and it brought intelligence, and it had a thought which basically said, gee, what else can there be? What can I create? What is this?
You know, Augie, this sounds a lot like the Kabbalah, their occult wisdom, of the Hebrews, where the point of creation called Ein Sof, I think, which would like be nothing compared with what we know as the physical. Everything emanated from that.
Mm-hmm. Is that what they say? That sounds pretty close.
Yeah. You know, it's also similar to Hermetics as well. They say that everything was created from nothing through the first matter, which is thought.
Yeah. Excellent. But it brought the laws of physics or universal law with it, which is based on science. We have basically three areas of science, that is physical science, mental science, and spiritual science. Spiritual science is something that mankind as a whole have not a clue. But, you know, we figured out physical science fairly well. Gosh, we got a car that runs 240 miles an hour and a watch that winds itself. And mental science, that is something like photographic memory and, you know, things like that. And spiritual science, now we're getting into things that is behind the curtain. And the curtain is hanging right at the fourth dimension. We have we say that we're in a three-dimensional world here. No, we're not. Is four. Three dimension, that is length, width, and height. Now you have a box. Nothing moves in that box until you add the fourth dimension to it, which is time. And after the fourth dimension, now you're going behind the curtain. Once you start understanding what's back there, then you get a better understanding of the universe. And when you start tapping into that universe, in meditation, there's a whole new world opening up to you. And I would love to ask you individually, how many of you meditate on a regular basis? You can safely stick your hand up. You know, I can't see you anyway.
You know, that reminds me. You know, I'm kind of reminded of kind of a humorous story, I guess. A friend of mine was taking LSD once, and he said he was wanting to get to the control room, I guess what was behind the curtain. And he said he actually made it to the control room one night, and he said, and no one was at home.
Oh, really? It was all on autopilot, huh? Yeah, well, that's probably it, because wherever he went, he was still within the illusion. Because the illusion transcends the first, second, third, fourth dimensions, the fifth, and the sixth dimensions. When you get beyond that, you get glimpses of what no longer is an illusion, because you can start seeing the real light.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that God is love. That is exactly what it is. It's not this old guy, white guy, by the way. That's what I was told where I grew up. He was always white, and he had a really old guy, and he had long white beard, and he had white hair. Well, yeah, and how stupid did that get? You know, it's obviously God, he had a mineral deficiency, and he had the body full of hydrogen peroxide. That's what bleaches the hair. So just don't fly. God, people have personalized, they had to personalize it to understand it, humanize it. But God is not physical. It can take a thought form and bring it into a shape that you can see through the holographic images that you are projecting. Or it can be only in your mind where you do not see it, but you know it. It mostly appears to you as a knowing.
I have a question. I'm talking about, you know, thought creates matter, okay, or creates whatever reality that we are aware of. Does that mean each individual person has the power of that kind of creation?
Absolutely. I don't know, some of us, I read the book that's called the Bible, and in there they talk about the mustard seed. Remember the mustard seed story?
Yeah.
It's a mustard seed. You can take this mountain and move it over there. Well, you know, I haven't seen too many mountains moved lately, but of course, people do not have the faith for it anyway. And in order to, faith comes from conviction. Conviction is an energy that exerted by the mind. And when the when you know what is the reality and you know what the illusion is, then you can distinguish between the two of them. Reality is only in spirit form. Anything else is a form of illusion. If you have a goat floating down the hallway and you say, oh, gee, that's my grandma, she died 40 years ago. Well, that is still a part of the illusion. That is not beyond the fifth or sixth dimension. These are thought forms that haven't figured out how to go home yet.
Okay.
You must have seen one of those, huh?
Excuse me?
You must have seen one of those. But, see, the illusion behind what spirit is or what we see, we never think about it, hardly.
Because right, that's true.
What we see around us, that's what we think is real. Because it seems so solid, so good, so real.
Augie, could you wait just a second? I want to ask Justin to check the... I'm still having some interference on the phone or breaking up. Am I the only one experiencing that?
No. You know what I think it is, Eddie? I think he's too close to the microphone, maybe.
Yeah, that could be.
It's because when you, I can tell when you change positions, you know, like your mouth is further away from it or closer or something. It sounds different.
How is now? Can this feel better?
Just the last second, yes. Try it again.
Okay. All right. Okay, so I'll try it. Hold the microphone in this position and see how that works.
What do you think, Eddie?
Let me ask you this. Could you maybe call in on a cell phone or something? There's some kind of problem with the connection here. And I think everyone else is hearing it, too. I hear you. A lot of what you're saying comes across clear enough, but then it gets broken up some. So if we could straighten that out, it would be a big advantage.
Yeah, I don't have a cell phone here, though, so
okay.
That's in a different part of the house. When I speak right now, can you hear it that way?
It's better.
It's a little better. It's better, yeah.
Okay, let me try that.
Okay.
Now, see, and this is... This illusion I'm talking about, it goes so deep that it's going to take a while before we can figure it out. And, of course, government and religion don't help any of that.
No.
It's their power play. They are making sure that we stay this way, because without it, if we our minds start opening up, then they lose power. And there is something here that I pulled out. In fact, I'm going to read it to you, because this is so good explaining what the media and what the government and religion do to you. There was a man, his name was John Swinton. He was the former chief of staff at the New York Times. In his address to fellow journalists, he said one thing. The business of journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, I know it, so what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. They pull the strings, we dance.
Right. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. But these things never make it to the papers, so people don't see it. But for once, somebody spoke the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But also, there is hope for the future. Because the future in this timeline doesn't look all bad. There is a hiccup down the road, a little, not too far into the future. There's a hiccup, but it's going to be fairly well. It's going to be good. And of course, now I mentioned something about time.
What do you mean by it? You said a pickup, Augie?
A hiccup.
A hiccup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But if we understand time, that's quite a step, because scientifically there is evidence for that time even exists.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? Well, time comes through consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness also, there is no scientific reason for it should exist, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
So time can be kind of, if you hold your hand up in front of you, look at it. You have one hand and five fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And these fingers can represent different timelines. They go into the future.
Mm-hmm.
There is some ways that we can control how our future will come out, and we can hold on to one specific timeline. If we go down this timeline and design it the way we want it, if we take,
mm-hmm.
let's say, something 1 year from now, this is what I want, and then you start visualizing it into existence, put details in it, people into it, and love into it, and very
mm-hmm.
colorful images. You
mm-hmm.
see the happiness of all the people that is in it. And then you go another year down, and 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years down the road, and you design the future the way you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you start building that future. And every time you go down this future into the whatever you have created down there, you create an attractor string. That every time you go down there, this attractor string gets more and more bright and solid. And every time that you go back and don't think about it, the quantum field for that future collapses.
Uh-huh.
But it comes back to your mind, and it's recorded in your mind. So anytime that you want to go back there, it comes out of your mind, goes down there, and put it in the position that you had it before, and it follows that attractor string. So now that attractor string, once it gets solid and big and strong enough, whenever you go down there, even without thinking about it, it draws you up that attractor string.
Mm-hmm.
So you are going down that timeline that you have already designed in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I hope.
Because
you can control your future somehow. And this does not interfere with anything that we call free will, because if you are doing this, it very likely is in your master plan that this is what you should learn how to do this time around.
Mm-hmm. Augie, I had a strange experience with this. I was out one night. The weather was horrible, and this is a few years back. And I had to get home. One of my kids was sick, and I had several things going on. And I slipped off the highway, and there was a huge ditch. And I just said to myself, I am not going in that damn ditch, excuse my language. And you know what? I didn't. I just got a few yards off the highway, and it stopped. And I thought it, and it stopped, just like that. So I know it's possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What you did, you created a future for yourself by thinking it with strong emotions and intentions.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And it was a horrible, horrible, you know, the weather was horrible. Fred had a bad cold at the time. I was coming down with the flu. I was sicker than the dog. And I was trying to get home for work. And I just couldn't. I mean, you know, the idea of getting somebody and bringing them out, pulling me out of the ditch, and, you know, all of that. I just said, no, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise, I got home.
Well, you'd be amazed how simple it can be sometimes. No,
yeah.
I didn't say easy, because you may have actually done this without thinking it. Or
right,
thinking
that's
about
possible.
Why you did it.
Right, right.
You made it happen.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's
just
why
make it,
yeah, we can create our own future this way and stick with it so we don't bounce and back. I know, because I have been back and forth between timelines. And that's why in the past I've done some predictions about the future, about according to some of the things that I saw, and it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of it did happen, a lot of it happened, but not specific things that I thought would. Now, there is a reason for that, because what I, at the time, made some of these major predictions, that was when I was hosting and producing two TV shows in Tucson, and what we covered was a lot of the government crap that is happening, you know, coming down on us all the time, and all the corruption, and
it's horrible.
That is out there. And that's where my mind was. So when I started to look at the future, I was going down a timeline which had that in it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I saw. So later I started to rethink that, and I understood this was not good. So I bombed because I went down the wrong timeline. Now, there was a real timeline which this would have been if I had gone down that timeline, but I switched and I went in a different direction. So I'm no longer in that timeline. And this is hard to understand, and it took me a while to do that. But you can control your timelines, and that is something that we all should do. Because once we start controlling that, we have a lot more control than we think we do. It is no longer coincidence. Of course, coincidence don't exist in the first place. There are, I never believed in coincidences. I didn't know exactly why, but now I do.
Augie, are you actually saying that one can change one's timeline?
Yeah, you definitely can.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's say that you are on a path that is it's rough on you. Now, start visualizing yourself in an environment where it is not rough. You have plenty. Things are good. You have love in your life. And start visualizing what is around you with other people that you care to have above you or around you. And start visualizing this with emotion, intention, vivid, visualized pictures, love.
Uh-huh.
Once you start visualizing with this, the language of the spiritual world, which is not one of words.
Uh-huh.
That is why prayers don't work. You use words. Nobody on the other side understands words. The language on that side is emotion, love. Visualized images.
And I would have to say, Augie, that also a very important thing in reference to what you were saying and about creating and manifesting that reality, that future that you're wanting. And the key word there you're saying is love. And not just love in the most common sense of the word love, but unconditional love. And another important thing you have to focus on is looking at the individual who lives in that lifetime, in that time frame with those things that you're really desiring. What is it that person does to draw those things to themselves? And what is it that you're doing now to hinder that from happening? You kind of have to manifest that individual into existence within yourself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is all up. It's all up to us. What our mind can create, and what you think about most, what you see, and what the environment you submerge yourself in, that is what you will have in your life. So change it. Change your environment. Change your thinking. Change your focus. there was a time in my life where I was in a position where I didn't like where I was, so I spent very little time there. My mind was positioned in the future, and I lived that future every day. That's why I came out of it, and there is some really wonderful things happening.
We're at the top of the hour. Let's take a short break, Augie, and tell our listeners how they can get your book and the title of your book and where they can order it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This book is called Spiritual Science, Higher Consciousness Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness. And go to the website. It's www.dual-sciences.net. That is www.spiritual-sciences.net.
Okay.
Go there and read about it, and you probably like what you see.
And now I want to give out our call-in number. Someone might want to call with a question or comment. Call us at 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142 if you would like to call with a comment or question.
And be sure to press 1 to get in the host queue so I can know you're there.
All right. You know, I mentioned, are we still on or are we having a little break?
I'm here.
Okay. I mentioned a little while ago about that's why prayers never work. Or I shouldn't say never. We never should say never, but rarely work.
Right.
That's because we are using words. Prayers like, you know, God, you know, please give me $1,000. Well, yeah, you know where that's going to go.
That's true.
Hey, has anybody tried that?
I had a man I was telling Augie that there was a minister I heard the other day, and he said, don't beg God.
Don't be a beggar.
Uh-huh.
Don't beg for yourself. Do it for
Augie, I got a question. One of our listeners sent a question. Talking about changing timelines, but can you actually change the past so that the timeline you've been on will cease to exist and then suddenly become a different timeline going all the way back to your past?
Well, let me answer it this way, and I will qualify it afterwards. Yes and no. Let me qualify that very thoroughly, because when you have done something, it's in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Because if we are living in illusion where there is no time and space, yesterday, today, and tomorrow is in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So there is really no difference between yesterday and today.
Uh-huh.
Can we kind of fathom that? If there is no distance between yesterday and today, can we access yesterday?
Well, yes, you could, if that's really true.
Yes, we can. Now, if you were going back, I tell you, I have some stuff that I would like to go back and redo again, and I think everybody would like to go back and have a do-over.
Everyone on Earth.
I think so.
And probably a few other planets, too.
Now, you're saying that this is possible.
It is possible. Let me explain why. When you go back, you do not go back and correct this timeline. When you go back, now there's two schools of thought on this. When you go back, and let's say in your mind, you can probably visualize something in the past which brings your mind back to that spot in time and space, in the illusionary time and space. And then bring it up to here again. So what you are doing is that you're bringing the past to the present, and you do not continue this timeline. You start a new one.
Mm-hmm.
You start a new timeline. So you're not changing the future or altering the progression of future. You are starting a new timeline which does not have some of the stuff in it that you would otherwise have.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick, though, is that when you end up in that timeline, this timeline collapses. This field collapses, and it never existed.
Mm.
So, in other words, you will never know that you switched to a different timeline. Because you will never know about the things that went bad in this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And then that timeline would be totally obliterated and never have existed.
That's correct. Now, the trick about it is that you're starting a new timeline, yes, but unless your mind has changed in its character, you might end up doing the same mistakes. So you'll do the same mistake over again, and you never know that you do it the second time.
That sounds like Groundhog Day.
yeah, exactly.
But
only the only difference is that he knew. He figured it out that he was doing the days over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
In this location where you start a new timeline, you will never know. You may suspect it. Once you have reached this level of understanding, you may suspect that there are things going on beyond your memory.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a way to find out. And that is by going to what I call the soup of creation, where everything past, present, and future is sitting in it. There you can look at different timelines, and you can find what, if it has a purpose, you can find it. For curiosity, you will probably never be shown.
Mm.
Curiosity is not really dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Mm. There was an alchemist saying that says imagination grounded in not grounded in reality is just totally useless. Now, imagination grounded in reality is a very powerful tool.
Absolutely. Now, the question is, though, what is reality? There we go back to it again, what I started out with. Reality is only in spirit. The soul, some people would call it. It's the same concept.
Hmm.
And anything else is not reality, it is only existence.
Okay, I've got to ask this question one more time.
Yeah.
Our listener is wanting to clarify the question, I guess. Say she had a good friend that died like 20 years ago.
Yes.
And can she change it such that person never died?
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. Since she asked the question, probably not. Because that tells me she wouldn't know how. If she studies, if she learns, and if she starts meditating and going behind the curtain and learning what is in that super creation, elevating her vibration of the mind to a point where she can come and, with her mind, she can come and go in physical reality, so she can actually look on both sides of the curtain at the same time. She could do it, but it takes work and effort. I know somebody personally that has been known to be in two places at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And there are times when he may not be there physically, but he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the question I always wonder. If someone does bilocate, are they conscious being in two different places at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Very simple answer to that. There is no separation. Once you have reached that stage of mind, there is only one mind. And you, right now, where you're sitting on that chair with a cup of coffee next to you, it is only one part of the whole. You are only one mind. So if you find yourself in two locations, there's only one mind. So it is just two expressions of that same mind. Your mind operates in both places. You have full knowledge of what your mind is doing if you're in five places.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's
of course,
like
that
principle. Excuse me, Eddie. I was just going to say, it's like when you have like two atoms, and they're connected with each other, and yet they're millions of miles apart.
Yeah. If you take one, let's say one proton, split
uh-huh.
it in half, and move the other half to the other side of the galaxy, and you stimulate this one, the
mm-hmm.
other one instantly reacts to it.
Right.
See, there is no separation between the two of them. So
right.
they're one, and there is no distance between the one.
Right.
Well, you know, I was just saying this could be awfully confusing. If I was bilocated and my mind was aware of both at the same, where I was in with one mind, so to speak, what if I were laughing in one place and crying in another place? Wouldn't I be real confused?
No, it shouldn't, because there's only one mind that has full knowledge of all there is.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's beyond me here to grasp,
yeah,
really.
I know you got
to
work on that one, but hey, try it sometime.
Okay.
It's just quantum mechanics. It's just
yeah.
quantum mechanics.
It is all explained in quantum physics also. A little different, but you see, quantum mechanics gets complicated because of all the difficult equations in it. And I looked at those equations, but I lose myself.
Yeah, we want to invite callers to give us a call if they want to have a question or a comment. They call us at 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142.
There is one thing that I just wanted to mention real quick, because earlier I mentioned this is why, because of the language, is why prayers don't work. And that is, we don't know how. Now, the Bible and the Quran and other so-called good books, they tell us what to say, but they don't tell us how. And obviously, they don't want us to know how, because then we wouldn't need them anymore. That's kind of my way to look at it. But there is one place that explains it very well, both according to quantum physics and to spiritual science, and that is Moses. Moses wrote 12 books, and
uh-huh.
I have 1 through 10. The 11th
uh-huh.
and the 12th books can't be found anywhere because it's in the Vatican archives, and they won't let you see it. There's a good reason for that.
I didn't know that. That's the first time I heard that. Interesting.
Yeah. Now, Moses says, in order to pray and get results every time, this is what you do. And then he lists it. He says, this is in his 9th book, I think. You go in your chamber.
Uh-huh.
That means going within. In other words, in your own mind.
Uh-huh.
Then you know what you want. In other words, don't waffle on it. Don't be a beggar. Just send a clear message of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third one is, see it in your heart. And back then, heart and mind was the same word. It meant the same thing.
Okay.
So see it in your heart. That means visualize it.
Mm-hmm.
In clear, vivid, colorful pictures.
Right.
And then aloud so the tears flow. With
other
words, put emotion into it. And then, know it is yours. That other words, have conviction, no doubt. This will be.
Mm-hmm.
And then, leave it to God. In other words, let go and allow for it to happen. Don't think about it anymore. Consider the matter closed. It will show up in your life.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he told people to do. Now, look at Moses. Look what he created. He was no slouch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So there must have been something to it.
Oh, excuse me.
Augie, I wanted to make a comment about something that you mentioned earlier. It kind of got me thinking, especially about the timeline thing, and back to that woman's question. I'm trying to think of how to word this. In the timeline, you know, you go back in time and you change things. Who's to argue to say that that's not what happens with past lives? You know, how do you know that? Because when you die, essentially you become spirit, and when you're in spirit, you're in that no time zone. You know, you're in between time where our perception of time doesn't exist. You're back in that reality of things. And you're able to create, and you know how to create things, and you want to fix the things and learn and grow again. And so you change things ever so slightly, hoping for a better outcome each time. Would you agree that's what
that
is?
Let me build a little. You're right on, and let me build a little bit on that. You said that when we die, we become spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, there's several other things we become. Once your physical body dies, the astral vehicle still is, the spirit, so to speak, is still attached to the astral vehicle. They kind of have an affinity to each other. And they kind of float off and do things together. And those are the ones that you see as ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
You see this white shadow over somewhere that's got a human shape to it. That's the astral vehicle. And after a while, they figured it out, that the astral vehicle has no intelligence of its own. It only feeds off the intelligence of spirit that is housed in it. Spirits figured it out for a while that I don't need this thing. It only holds me back, so it leaves, and then the astral vehicle will die. It will disintegrate and kind of drift off. This is in the fifth dimension.
Augie, I read someplace where there's actually like two or three bodies when you die, and you climb out of each one. Is that what you're talking about?
You're exactly right.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And they are in different vibrations, one above the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
what happens if you get cremated? My husband just passed away, and I had him cremated, and now I'm thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
No, that's fine. There's there is also this rumor on the street that anybody that gets cremated, they never are observed as ghosts, which may be something true to that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's very...
Well, is that good? Is that good?
If I jump in here.
It frees up spirit to go and do what it needs to do.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Justin, go ahead. Yeah, Justin's got something he's got. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, in regards to the cremation, that is a very traditional funeral rite, especially with most pagan cultures. It's a very Christian ideal to bury the dead and honor the dead corpse that's in the ground rotting. As I was taught through classic Celtic shamanism, we are taught that cremation and the burning of the body helps release the things that our spirit might get attached to, the emotional weights and things that hold us back within this body, and that releases.
That's
that
what the Hindus think too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yep, that is right. There you got it. There.
That's all I have to say on that.
Well, I've never heard that before, that people are cremated and never show up again as ghosts.
Yeah, I don't think somebody wrote about that. I read something about 10, 15 years ago, and they had done some research on that, and they never found anybody cremated to ever show up as a ghost or spook anybody or haunt anybody.
There's less likely chance for that to happen, yes, but you got to remember still, they are spirit, and spirit is where free will is housed. If they do linger around still, even after cremation, it's because they chose to.
Yep.
And it's usually to protect their loved ones and watch over the ones that they love that are still alive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They can visit your mind. But I am not so sure if they can show up with any other vehicle or body that... because the astral vehicle, that stays with the physical body for quite a while afterwards, too.
Now, what is it you said stays with the physical body? I didn't catch that.
The astral body is bound to the physical body for quite a while afterwards.
Really?
This is really a cute story. I'm going to take about a minute and a half and tell you. Over in France, during the 50s, there was a guy over there that figured out how he can take pictures of ghosts. What he did, he took a Tesla coil down to the graveyard, and he found a fresh grave that somebody was just put in the ground, and set up the Tesla coil there, turned the crank all the way to the right, went back about 15 feet, and he took pictures of the gravesite. Well, that Tesla coil electrified the field around the body, around the grave, and it caught on the camera. So he could see the person that was in the ground standing next to the grave. Sometimes they were sitting on the ground. And the people in town, they got so scared watching these pictures, they ran the guy out of town. They almost lynched him.
Really?
Oh my God.
So if you guys want to have some fun, get yourself a Tesla coil and go to the graveyard and take some pictures.
That was just that. That was the astral body?
No, probably part of it, but there was more to it than that. Like Pat said, there's more than one body. And also, it could be, they were fully clothed. They were not just, they just like they were there in the real life. They were, they had the mental image of the person standing there.
Yeah, a lot of times, going off of what I was taught through shamanism, spirits live in a more subtle energy. In order for them to manifest, like show apparitions to where they're more visible, they have to draw a lot of energy, and it takes a lot of energy to do that. And what I'm thinking that the, and especially because they're electromagnetic energy at that, and the fact that Tesla coils work with essentially electromagnetics in a sense, and would probably amplify that in the area, they're able to draw off of that energy and make themselves more manifesting.
You're exactly right. That's why ghosts are so good with electronics. They can turn radios and TVs on and turn them off, and they can shut off light bulbs and stuff. They're good at that.
But you'd be doing the ghosts a favor if you could destroy their astral body, right?
Yeah, you would.
Mm-hmm.
Or separate them from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
One tricky little thing here that I'd like to mention something about, that ascension.
Uh-huh.
We don't really know what ascension is on a general term, but there is something to it, because ascension means that you take the body with you, physical body, and everything goes with you, and you leave the physical realm. How can that happen? I see on the internet there's websites that say, well, we are the ascension people and we are going to ascend, and half of them probably don't even know what it is.
Exactly. I would have to agree with you on that.
But the thing is that if you look at what reality is and what the illusion is, it starts to make sense, because if we live in a mind-created universe, everything you see out there, including your physical body, is mind-created, created by thought. So you have created your physical, when I say you, that means spirit, has created your physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And it is all thought, intelligence and thought. So really, all you have to do to take the physical body with you is to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Say, okay, this hologram is no longer any good for me. I'm going to take my energy elsewhere, and poof, you can be out of there. If you have the conviction and total knowledge of how it works and what you are
Wow.
And that you want to do it.
As my shaman teacher always put it, it's not an ascension, it's more of a descension, is that you're bringing that higher self-knowledge and knowledge of who you are in the ultimate spiritual sense, in that fifth dimensional sense, and bringing it here and existing in this realm. Like it's like you're choosing to pass on while still alive or holding on to this body and interacting and trying to bring nourishing and light to those around us. And then if you choose, you could probably leave if you wanted to, but you're probably still here for a purpose. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and leave if you want to. If you find out that your hologram here is no longer serves a purpose, you learn what you think you came for, then you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's probably the other side of the coin that you just
mentioned. I wanted to ask, why are we right now, I've heard that we're under quarantine, that people that wanted to leave and go to another part of the solar system can't get out, and people that want to come in from somewhere else can't get in. What's the purpose of that?
Well, let's look at it this way again. Let's go back to what is real and what is the illusion. If spirit is the only thing real and everything else, including the solar system, the galaxy, and the universe, is mind-created, it is all in your mind. So if they want to leave here, all they have to do is to take their energy with you and reestablish it somewhere else where you think that you may be able to learn more and have a different purpose or the same purpose. So the quarantine is only in a what we would call physical sense. I have heard that also, but that there is holes in that quarantine because I know there are things that's going back and forth to Earth and is coming here, visiting, and they're leaving and going. So part of it that is quarantine, and that is us, physical. We are not allowed, I mean, if we, with the mentality that the global community have right now, went to a place where they have peace, no disease, and they had love, can you imagine how we would contaminate that?
Oh, we'd ruin it totally.
We would ruin it in about a week and a half.
Or less.
And we're not allowed to do that. So that's the quarantine that we're talking about. Now, the other way, it is not necessarily so much quarantine.
Oh.
There are spiritual beings that is coming here, and they're not quarantined.
Oh.
Well, the dark shadows are starting to creep up a bit on us, so I think we're running out of time. Okay, give that website address again where people can go and order your book.
That website is www.spiritual-sciences.net.
And it's well worth the money, isn't it, Augie?
Huh?
It really is worth the money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Oh, well, yeah, it's got so much information in it.
Well, yeah, and you guys...
We've all asked you different stuff and, you know, take an encyclopedia set to answer, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much now for being our guest. We're out of time, and we're going to get you back here in a couple of weeks to talk about another book you've written.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be great.
Great now. Thanks so much now. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Good night.